This is a letter to me. This is over the signature of Jim Nelson Black, Associate Editorial Director of Word Incorporated.
Ha!
Dear Harry.
That's him.
It was fascinating meeting with you at the Stoneley to discuss books and media projects involving the Trinity Foundation. Olley's perspectives are equally anachronistic and provocative. The Crossfire tape is interesting, but doesn't have quite the same punch as the live performance! I can easily imagine that Olley's stand-up routine is a hit. He is both inspiring and sinister in his presentation style.
That's true. That's true.
But I worry about any theology which has to go for pyramids and stars when the life of man in contemporary society is enough to occupy many full minds, many fine minds, full time. Word publishes a variety of material, theological but also Christian and evangelical Christian at that, and more than tradition. The subject area is a matter of faith and principle. I think you know that we will not stray broadly from that core. We are not the right publisher for the Trinity books, but I do appreciate your giving me a chance to explore the possibility. Ultimately, a concept such as yours will have to be done internally by the foundation. But unless I miss my guess, you would have already launched that ship if the organization weren't strapped to some degree. The test of one's faith comes at such times. Lasting faith survives testing. Feeble faith normally dies. I hope the universality and mystery of what you and your friends are studying won't blind you or your followers to the reality of daily life and the positive, life-changing power of Christ. If Abraham were enough, Christ would never have come. Abraham was the father of a race, not its ultimate statement. Christ was and is that statement, and the proof of that is his daily participation in our, bracket, I can easily say my, end bracket, life. But you don't need to be preached at, so I repeat my sincere thanks for the chance to chat and learn, and my best wishes for you and yours.
So much for the Jew first.
As for my music, it writes no mention at all.
No, listen to your music.
As for your music, there's a little handwritten note that says, just okay. Nothing new or valuable in lyrics or melody.
That's the way I see it. I think we'll use that on the blurb on my album cover. And the letter on the dust jacket of the Abraham
Lincoln. I would do that.
Got some real great...
Just okay.
Wait, they didn't even say they like my tunes? No, just okay. Nothing new or valuable. Now, I don't want to toot my horn, but I will. I got 760 in the college boards in English. This is the first time I've ever had to look up a word that was used in a letter. But I had to look up the fact that all these perspectives are equally anachronistic and provocative. Anachronistic means out of time. It also means one who was appropriate to an earlier age but is out of place in this one.
I couldn't tell if it was or if you were swearing at him.
I'm not too sure about the sinister one. That's the one.
Well, inspiring and sinister.
The one I agree with.
Inspiring.
That's
what
God is.
Appropriate.
That's
the science of
Yeah, it is.
Well, the bottom line is the fact is that they are evangelical and they believe in free will, and therefore they believe that God is participating. And besides that, I believe, firmly believe that. But our process that I internalized and we're going to follow is we're going to explore each of the major Christian publishers. We're going to try next Zondervan, then probably Christian Literature Crusade, and then probably Bridge. Maybe, huh? And Rebel. Erdman's, they only publish, you know, the scholarly works, really. Anyway, anybody have your little charts?
No.
I left mine at home.
We finished on the offerings, the sin offering. Down through the fourth, reading from the left, reading from the right, the fourth variety, which was the common people, the female lamb, the individual sin, etc. Now, the next one looks exactly the same, except that instead of a female lamb being offered, a female kid is offered. Now, when you look at the varying or ascending order of the value of the sacrifice, it goes from the fine flour to the turtle doves to a female lamb or a female kid, to a female lamb, to a female kid, to a male kid, to a bullock. Now, that represents an apprehension of the efficacy of the offering. As I've told you so often, never in the scriptures is a male lamb a sin offering. And so when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," he was either lying or there was a translation problem. And as we've gone through before, that in the Aramaic there was no real difference between lamb or kid, and the translators didn't understand this, and so it sounded too terrible to say, "Behold the goat of God." That wouldn't make any sense to anybody's theology.
Was there a difference between the word trespass and sin?
Well, sort of, but they didn't really understand it. And so we ended up with this verse that almost everybody in the Christian world knows, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And they call Jesus is the Lamb of God, therefore Jesus was the sin offering and the Lamb was the sin offering. Well, that's mixing metaphors. It's not possible. The blood of the Lamb, of the male Lamb, its only efficacy at this point was for God to see in Egypt so that the death angel would pass you by. That was the only time the male lamb was used. Do you understand? Let me say it again. We're coming to Passover. If you search throughout the whole scriptures, the only time a male lamb was killed was for the Passover. And he was killed not so that the offerers would participate in the blood, but so that the blood would be put outside the house on the lintels of the door by the priest or the head of the family. So the priest was the only one that saw the blood, but the purpose of the blood was for God, not for you or me. It was seen by the priest, so he had some apprehension of it, but it was not seen by the people that were participating in the Passover ceremony. It was only seen by God acting in the capacity of the death angel.
Is it unique? Is it unique kind of thing?
That's the only time the blood of the male lamb is used, as far as I can tell. Maybe I've made a mistake.
And they ate it all too, which is different.
They didn't eat the blood.
No, I mean they ate all the meat, which you don't do in the sin offering, right?
Right.
But you said that the lamb, behold the Lamb of God, is not really a lamb.
No. When it says, "Behold the Lamb of God," in John, it should have said, "Behold the goat of God," or more properly, "Behold the scapegoat of God."
Talking about the
Remember when we studied the offering of the scapegoat at Yom Kippur? Well, one of them was killed, and that was for God. The other one was killed, and that was for Azazel. The other one was sent in the wilderness, and that was for Azazel. Well, that's what he was talking about. At the same time Christ was baptized, John was baptizing, the high priest was sending away the scapegoat. Now, do you understand that? Do you understand that? We'll hopefully see this more clearly. Now, nothing else happened with regard to blood until you reached Mount Sinai and the law was given. Now, the reason the blood came after the law, all the law was given. And my God, you can't do that. I can't do that. You can't get there from here. Okay? But simultaneously, instantly after, the tabernacle and its offerings was given. So the blood that was connected with these offerings was to cover or to atone for or to provide access to those altars because of sin. You confronted with the law, you can't do it, and the blood is the only way that you have access. So the blood of the male lamb was exclusively in Egypt. What?
Well, okay, no place in the Passover use of blood or the sin offering use of blood, and I don't know about the offerings we haven't studied, but it appears that nowhere is there drinking of blood.
No, never.
Okay, then where does this come from, drink my blood?
Blood always represented the soul. The life of the soul is in the blood. Okay? And so and the ones that saw, as we see, will understand. Therefore, the life of your soul has to have only one origin, and that's Christ Himself. He has to provide the efficacy or the spark for every, well, He already does. He does it for all men, but you don't know it. He has to provide the spark for the soul of all men.
So the drinking of His blood is the acknowledgement of
that. The drinking of His blood is the confession that you are Him, that there is no separation, that there is no part of you that could have ever existed from the beginning of your life until now that wasn't empowered by Him.
And now the eating of His flesh, though, does refer to the Passover?
The eating of the flesh, well, the eating of the flesh, you remember, I've told you so often, the Passover predated all other offerings, okay? It predated all other offerings, but it typified all of the offerings together. And so, in the typification process, the fact that you ate the lamb was a hint at what was happening, what will happen next in the peace offering, but it was also the indicator that He is your sustenance for all things in the future. You already have all the blood, so therefore, the soul always has been originated in the blood of Christ. It's never could have been ever been anything different. The eating of the flesh or eating of the body of Jesus manifests itself in the affirmation that only you never will be able to eat anything but Jesus. Do you understand that? It's big time.
Is it possible that John's reference to Jesus as the Lamb of God is a reference to the Passover lamb because the Passover incorporates all the other offerings?
No.
No, he was specifically referring to the...
He was specifically referring to the goat of God because of this. This is the sin offering. He couldn't have taken away the sin of the world by a male lamb. It's impossible.
Well, it's right after that. He went into the wilderness. Yeah.
That was a scapegoat.
Right.
Wasn't he crucified...
He was crucified.
Yeah, he was crucified.
Around
Passover.
He was crucified,
yeah.
On Passover.
On Passover. And we've talked about this before, that he was a sacrificial lamb and that the priests were killing their lamb or whoever was killing their lamb.
No, I've never said that. No.
They were cutting down the first fruit.
They were cutting down the first fruits for the new offering as he was crucified. You remember, he was... You got to get this day stuff or you're going to get all confused. I'll make you a Passover chart.
We'll cover all this in our Seder meal.
That's a good idea.
A chart?
Make you a chart for Passover.
Yeah, because that is a confusing thing. It doesn't sound like 3 days when you add up the time.
And
then you go through the...
We've been over that.
Yeah, I know, but old dull and slow appearing.
Okay, now, but I want you to understand, you see, again, notice in this, that I can't tell you, if you can begin to see this, you'll begin to taste freedom unbelievably. You will stop judging yourself because you will see that forever... For all men, this has been taken care of, dealt with. And you've been perfect ever since the day you were born.
But your Antichrist, your mind, was the antagonist against that perfection, so that the mind or spirit, the spirit and the soul would be one. So you'd be sanctified body, soul, and spirit. You understand?
Yeah.
So the lot, you've always been complete in Him. You've never been not complete in Him. The offerings have always met every need from before that you were in your mother's womb.
Yeah. We just thought it was a process. I mean, it was complete, insane.
Yeah. Now, your mind has always been and will always be the antagonist, purposefully by God, to come against the completeness of these offerings, to cause you to be wrenched around. And you're wrenched around by the hand of God, so that when you finally see that every little element of your life is perfect, and it always has been, and it's always been God, then you can say, hallelujah.
Yeah.
I know who I am. And just as Jesus, as He went through this process, slowly but surely, year after year, year after year of reading and reading and reading, there was a slow dawning, an expanding awareness of who He was. He was always that, from before the foundation of the world. But his mind didn't know it until he was confronted with Scripture. And the same exact process is taking place in you as you slowly but surely begin to apprehend and to see. You say, my God. I've always been the Son of God. I've always been the child of the Father. I've always been perfect. And everything that's happened has brought me to this point, to test, so that God can say to the world, the flesh, the devil, and everybody else, take your best shot, so that you're fully tested, because then fellowship is possible. Then you fully know it. You know, that's why, I mean, forgive me for talking about myself a minute, but, I mean, can you imagine, I mean, guys like Jimmy Swaggart, or, I mean, these so-called superstars in the body of Christ, they wouldn't stand a chance in a debate. Not because I know more scripture than they do, but because I know who I am.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants you to be able to debate or to be confronted with any stimulus in time and space, that it won't move you.
Amen. That's the reason for growth.
And that's why I can feel it in you tonight. I can feel a freedom, a sense, it's a flower opening up. It's a certainty in your mind of who you are. Never again can you be deceived. Nothing can come against you. I don't care if it's relatives or husbands or wives or children or grandparents or nothing. Nothing in time and space can affect that freedom because of this.
Amen.
That's always been true. Do you have a little inkling?
Yeah. It's a destiny, you know, to Jesus growing up. I mean, he's
just like you.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it didn't look like anything for a long time.
Oh, hell no.
The destiny was there.
But as long as mankind believes in free will, then he, by definition, has to believe that Jesus is only participating in his life or helping him out every once in a while. That's what makes us so totally different from everybody else in the universe. That's why this is the capital of the universe. And I wish that you would begin to see that. Nothing can touch us. All right, now, the value in God's mind of that offering and what it's represented by in the sacrifice of the animal or the sin offering is this gradual increasing in efficacy from the fine flour, as we've talked about. No apprehension. Just that Christ was sort of bruised for me and he suffered for me, but there was no death, therefore there was no recognition of the curse. Most people don't recognize the curse. That's the fundamental problem with their theology. Now here, then comes the turtle doves, and we've, you know, it's a little bit more apprehension, but there's confusion between it and the burnt offering, and it and the peace offering, and it. I mean, they don't understand. Then comes the female lamb or a kid. Now, I don't know how to talk about this, really, and I'm not too sure that I'm going to be able to get it to you, but the kid, the goat, in Israel's mind, back in the ancient times, the goat represented sin, represented the Gentiles, represented the world. The lamb always represented Israel.
Something about the nature of Israel.
Something about the nature of Israel. Or no, I'm talking about, don't mix metaphors now. We got to get back to this idea of, you know, forget the Lamb of God that takes away the, you know, just hear, try to hear what I'm saying. Okay. Now, the female, always in the scriptures, was exempt from the positive aspects of the law. You understand what I'm saying? Because she was covered by her husband. So when a female lamb or kid is offered, then there's confusion about what it signifies. Is there's confusion about who the offering is for, but it only represents the female aspect of the law, which is the prohibitions.
Wow.
Do you understand? It only says you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't do this. This is important. So that's all you will hear. You will not even be aware of the positive aspects of the law about what you need. You know, you have to go to Jerusalem, you have to build the temple, you have to make the morning offerings and the evening offerings, you have to have the ashes of the red heifer, you have to have, you know, the Shekinah glory in the temple. They're not aware of all those, because the female aspect of the law was only the prohibitions. So in your apprehension, it's always only what you shouldn't do. It's almost like the Darrell theology about, you know, yeah. Sin is when I get caught. You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, this stuff makes me cry that
me
so
cry.
Few apprehend it. And this is our, what we are, we have, you know, you don't know it yet. When we finish this, my role is to teach you to be a priest. To teach you to not just to be a priest, but a priest and a prophet, so that you can fulfill the ministry of Elijah. There's nothing more that the church needs than that today. But you can't have the ministry of Elijah unless nothing can come against you. Can you imagine having 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah come against you without knowing this? Can you start to feel my sense of destiny?
Wow. It kind of, when you're saying about the aspect of the don't do, it's kind of like the purification thing, you know, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. There's nothing to do. Except, but there are things not to.
Yeah, but
you know,
it's
about not. Yeah, I mean, I kind of see that in terms of everything that's happened about not exerting yourself or not.
Yeah, but what you will see when you read this, when you read the New Testament, when you talk to people, when you think to yourself, your whole soul is consumed with what I shouldn't do.
So Christ has covered that, but then you never see what he has done. He has gone. He has built the temple.
Amen. We're going to get to that. We're getting right there.
Don't go away from me. I'm still right here. Me and a whole bunch of other people are the same.
Well, as Doug would usually, I understand, but
yeah,
why don't you, for
yeah,
the benefit
plenty,
of those?
Yeah, for these guys and people on point, man. And I don't know what it is I don't understand, but some of these things.
Okay.
Tell where you, I mean, that's, you talked to us before about the fact that the females, women are exempt from the negative.
Okay.
Expand on that a little, because that's like.
The reason that Do you understand there are 613 laws of Moses in the scriptures? The Ten Commandments are just sort of a précis of that law. But the Ten Commandments don't abrogate the other 603. God said to Moses, if you want to have access to me by your strength, then here's how you do it. And he showed him the picture. He showed him the pattern. He took him to the same place he took me, and saw the heavenlies, and saw this picture, and saw the law as like a schematic drawing of what it's necessary to have access to God, to have freedom, to have joy, to have all the things that mankind has forever desired. Now, of those, I forgot the exact breakdown, but I think there are 258 of the laws that, which equate, by the way, to the number of the bones in the human body, the skeleton, that are the laws that you need to do. In other words, you need to build a temple. You need to do the offerings right. You need to... Okay, then there's all these other ones, whatever 258 minus 365 is the number of the days of the year. 365 are the laws that you shouldn't do. You know, don't trespass, don't lust after your neighbor's wife, don't touch an unclean thing, don't say fucking Bible study, they're all of them, there's bunches of them, right? Now, God said, always and ever, the purpose of the law wasn't to make you righteous. The purpose of the law was to shut up your mouth. Right? But everybody, by your nature, you try to selectively look at the law to make you think you're good. I be good. Because my body was born without any testosterone. Therefore, I have no sexual drive. Therefore, I can get by with the one that says I shouldn't fuck my neighbor's wife.
Or was that
or talk?
Huh? Or even think about it. Do you understand? So therefore, your mind, in order to accomplish your righteousness, will lop on to the ones that you think you can do by your understanding.
Actually, eunuchs even think about it without having any.
Yeah, they don't have any. But they don't think about it in terms of emotionalizing it.
No, but they think about it.
Okay, but my point to you is this. All of the laws, when Israel is the female, that means that she was married, in effect, to the law. Now, Christ came... And by him taking and fulfilling the law and taking it unto himself, because the strength of the sin was always the law, he killed it. And made, by his resurrection, he then became the covering for the bride. So that she never again had to do any of that stuff.
Became married to another.
She became married to another that had fulfilled and become, not just fulfilled, he had become it. This isn't option stuff, guys. This isn't stuff, what I'm telling you doesn't make a hill of beans whether you understand it or not. It doesn't make a hill of beans whether this is eternal truth. Your apprehension of it will determine your amount of joy and peace. Now, again, with regard to these offerings, if it's just the female that's being offered, that means you're still subject to all of the prohibitions. You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Hear me. Okay, first it's a female lamb or a kid, so there's confusion. You know what the fuck's going on. But there's a bunch of stuff you shouldn't do. You know, I can look at you and know, I know you guys so well, I know what you're subject to. You know. Now, then it comes the next, the highest apprehension, the next one. Is it, first of all, it's female lamb or a kid. Then it's a female lamb. Well, now I'm starting to get a little bit of understanding. It has something to do, because now I'm not just a common people anymore. The lamb represents somehow Israel. But I'm not sure. It's still confusion. It's still a bunch of I shouldn't do this's. Okay, now let's move on to the next one. The next one represents the female kid. Well, now that's confusing as hell. I just got through thinking that I was going to be just... Now God is telling me it's not just for Israel, it's for the whole fucking world. Because the goat always was the Gentiles. And then I go on a little bit and I see it. My God, it's a male kid. That means that all of the prohibitions are gone. That means you apprehend with Paul that to the pure in heart, all things are pure. That all things are lawful for me, but all things aren't edifying. Yeah. Are you beginning to feel it?
Yeah.
Now we come to the bullock.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is I'm feeling about it, though.
Now the bullock represents, it's just, man, it's everything. The bullock has taken it. It's not female lamb, it's not female kid, it's not turtle doves, it's not fine flour. It's the fullness of the offering, as full as it could be. There is no sin possible again. Not just for you, but for the whole world. The only sin, the unforgivable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is not to believe it. So therefore, your mind, you remember I told you this road is going to get much narrower. We're going into a gate so narrow that you can't make it through in the flesh. The gate is so narrow now that you must see that if you ever, for the slightest moment, begin to condemn yourself ever again, you're crucifying Christ afresh. And I guarantee you something. When you pass into that gate where you find out that every time your thoughts return to self to say, I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't do that, that you see at that instant Christ and the cross being crucified on the place of the skull at Golgotha in the highest of the high places. You're crucifying him afresh, and you will stop it at that instant. And the moment you see you no longer have the right to crucify him or to condemn yourself, it will become impossible for you to judge people. Therefore, you're free beyond freedom.
This is one.
Yeah. You see, your mind still thinks it's trying to tell you should be different. I should be different than I am. That's the lie of separation. And everybody around you tells you, oh, you should be different. And all the little things you see, oh, I should be different. No. You should see what he's done. It's done. You hear it. I guarantee you. If you hear what I've just told you, you will see it. Maybe not this instant, but you will see it. If you see it, you will be inexorably changed. And this, potentially, is the strongest medicine that is possible for you to take in the Spirit. I've waited, you know, there's so many things I've waited, but I've waited 10 years to talk about this. Now. Let's go through the 2 Corinthians.
Oh, I'm in
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17.
And for those of you who are in 2 Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians 2, and so on.
Second Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are totally passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's total. Now, back to the chart. So we're at the fifth one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Common people. I'm just a common folk.
Yo. Let me ask you something before you get on to that now. You were saying that at the point where you start getting into this lamb or kid, female lamb thing, that's when you begin to see that the sacrifice is taking care of the don'ts,
right?
But you don't see anything about empowerment for doing these
right.
other things. And, but once you get, then it goes to the female kid, which has to do with the
whole
don'ts
world.
Plus the whole world. So you, and then the next thing is the male kid, which is the actual...
It's the whole world, it's everything.
It's the don'ts, it's the whole world, and it's the empowerment for the all the other things in the law.
Right.
So, and then the bullock is...
Bullock, well, we'll see the bullock. The we'll get the bullock in a minute.
All right, just checking.
Okay, so now, as I said, the common people, at least you're a common Israelite. You see, you've been identified, you no longer see yourself as a poor individual in terms of, again, out in the world. You see yourself as part of Israel, or part of the bride, and you begin to see this. You still have the propensity, though, to think in terms of do's and don'ts, because it's the female kid that's been offered. Mostly don'ts. I shouldn't do this, and I shouldn't do that. And but it's still primarily applied to you as an individual. I mean, you don't see it in terms of its efficacy of once and for all, and for all of the whole thing. You just see it primarily as, well, I'm starting to see that maybe I'm free. Yeah. You see that? Okay. You now, all the other things are the same as they were the last time. You've properly labeled it as what it atones for is sin. You see that it has taken away the essence of you. You've recognized that you're the sin, not what you do. You're the offerer, so you kill it. You see that all of these other mistakes that you've made with regard to seeing has crucified Christ. There's a laying out of hands, so there is the total identification with the sacrifice. The disposition of the blood, though, you're starting to get there. You got gold, you got your golden altar, which is the incense altar, so you're seeing more and more clearly that it's your thoughts are covered by the blood. And you know you have access because of the blood to the brazen altar. You see that the disposition of the fat is burned, so that you see that, you see that his sacrifice was perfect. But there's still this problem about the deep inner stuff, the stuff that's out of your control. You know, the propensity to think weirdness and, you know, I don't have to, the gross stuff and the subconscious response reaction, the things that happen to you when you're a little kid that you still respond to in the same way. You understand?
What do you mean by that?
How dare you?
know. Sinister, too.
Old. Anachronism. Old. There's a certain anachronistic quality that remembering certain things about people. That...
All right. The body still isn't seen. The disposition of it. So there's still the process. There's still a lurking suspicion that you're going to heaven. Or maybe you're going to hell. In other words, there's a sneaky suspicion in terms of trying to better the body. You're trying to get better. You understand?
Mm-hmm. And I like what you said, because it's also related to that is the sneaking suspicion that you're going to be taken out and punished rather than totally
right.
blown
right.
away completely. You're going right. to be tortured by God. Or
God's going to. God's out to get you.
Yeah.
Purgatory. On the eighth day, God said.
Get Harry.
Push pile!
Now, again, the name of it, you properly named it, is a sin offering. But obviously it's not eaten because it's a sin offering. Okay, now let's go up. Now we go to the next one. Six.
Big leap.
We're getting to be a big leap.
What happened?
We're making a big leap from a common people to a ruler.
First of all, what's a ruler?
A ruler is any official.
Like the Bishop Young.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I'll tell you what it has to do with anything.
Glad you
asked that. A ruler could be a parent in terms of its relationship or her relationship to the children. A ruler could be a husband in terms of his relationship and responsibilities with regard to the family. A ruler could be a boss. A ruler could be any kind of a position in which you have at least an apparent responsibility for someone else's soul in any way. You understand? Now, what I want you to see, what we will see, is that it's not just, you're not just a ruler, you're also a high priest, but that's a little bit of a jump from right now. First of all, you have to begin to see, with regard to the ruler, that your world, and this is where what the modern world calls evangelism comes in. God has established the bounds of your habitation. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
And within that bound of your habitation, you are the ruler.
Yeah.
And if you don't speak to those in your world, then their blood is required at your hand. Now see, before you just, you know, you've just been a poor little soul trying to struggle in the world, you know, then, well, now at least I'm part. Now something's, now this is getting weird.
Also, this is why it's the first time it's something you have to do, which is speak.
Yeah, but it's not a do, as we'll see.
There's a lot of resonances here, different, you know, because not only do you see that you're a ruler, but this offering also, you see that it atones for ruler kind of stuff
that
you can screw up.
You know? That's what we're going to talk about.
So
that's a good point.
You won't speak, first of all, unless you believe. If you believe, you can't help but speak. It's not a should to. A should do. Now, at this point in your mind, you recognize that there is an external movement. In other words, you begin to sense that which is within you can't stay within you. Now, you can confuse it by trying to go and be an evangelist, but God has defined a system, and He's established the bounds of your habitation, and He'll never judge you by what you don't have without any effort on your part. There's no effort on your part to be in the world that you are in, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. You will see that as you believe, you can't, as you hear what I'm telling you, you will not be able to stop yourself from speaking it. Now, at that same point, you also see that the blood protects you in regard to your making a mistake in that arena.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't not speak. That's impossible. You can only not believe.
Including saying something stupid or saying something.
can you feel it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost like you can say nothing against the truth.
You can do nothing against the truth, and you can say nothing against the truth.
That's the thing about God who confirmeth the word of his servants.
Man. And yet let every man speak as the oracles of God.
Right.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him go around. That means you go around and try to memorize Bible verses and pray like Larry used to pray.
Let's pick on Larry, not.
You just know. You understand?
Yeah.
Now. Now you see, however, it's the male kid that's sacrificed. And so it's the whole world, everybody in your world, and it's all for all possible sin, all possible not keeping of the law. You see, it's not the female any longer, so you're not concerned about what, oh, I shouldn't do this, or I made a mistake, or... You're covered. I mean, do you think that I would have been able to do with regard to, in all the crap we've been through, I'd have quit 50,000 times if I didn't know this.
You threatened to quit a couple times.
Why, no. That's when I forgot this.
Yeah, I mean, you're a living example of your struggle to see this.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
Come back.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this a long time ago, but it had to be tested. But I'm a living example of God's faithfulness. Amen. That's the only thing I'm a living example of.
But then, in this position, seeing this, by definition, whatever you have is sufficient for whatever.
Oh yeah.
Has been whatever arena you're placed in.
Yeah.
Whatever you're responsible for, what you have is.
It's sufficient.
Sufficient. For
you're
that.
Never judged by what you don't have. At any moment. You don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about trying to memorize shit. You don't have to worry about preparing a lesson plan unless you're around idiots that want charts.
It's like traveling without luggage. It's like traveling without luggage. You've got everything you need. You don't have to carry six suitcases all across Europe.
Right.
Yeah. You're just free.
You got it? You got a little bit of it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a question.
Uh-oh. He wants another graph.
That remark about the graph.
Strike that from the record.
No, earlier when I was, I blurted out my little thing, but I said something about empowerment. But does empowerment have, this really doesn't have anything to do with empowerment. That's some kind of other thing that's going on in some other kind of
empowerment,
type or something.
Empowerment is always and ever the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Empowerment is never knowledge. Knowledge only creates the container or the vacuum for the Holy Spirit.
So it's like knowing this, you're
creates
empty.
The vacuum. You're
so
empty.
You're,
yeah.
There's nothing you can do. Self is lost. The farther you go up this, and as long as when self is lost, by definition, the Spirit must fill it. Fill it.
The Spirit, I guess, is like when the presence of God in the
and
tabernacle.
It's the kind of glory.
Is there when the offering is happening, he accepts it. And it's,
you got it?
Power stuff.
How did he sound again?
I see. Technical. Well, there's
technical term.
There's some scholarly disagreement about that.
What's that sound?
That's close to, a transliteration.
Sound of a mighty.
What it would be.
I think scholars are united on that.
Okay, now, again, we'll go down. Now we got a different apprehension in terms of who it atones for. Now we begin to understand that the blood has atoned for everybody who is like-minded.
Because you can let everybody else alone at this point.
You can begin to create a little cult here. If we stopped here, we would create another denomination. And we would say, only those who understand as we understand are going to go to heaven. So.
We all say that?
No.
No, we're revising that. Only those who understand as we understand, except for Doug.
So you understand it's only the denomination.
Doug's going to be burned out.
Now,
there's an interesting little thing developing about what's happening to us in this whole process, just being little individuals and stuff, and then common people, and then a ruler, and then the church, and little church, and then the whole.
Fucking world.
That's weird. That's just...
I did it too.
I mean,
does the ruler relate... I mean, we talked about his own bounds of his habitation... And that's where his thing is. Is that somehow the denomination? What's the link there?
The linkage. Linkage is once you were in the ruler position, and this is the. And I was trying to avoid doing this right now because I wanted to study all the offerings before we made that distinctions. The distinction is about the child, or the Gentile, the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father, and those positions are a function of apprehension, not a function of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, the young man position is the ruler. You begin to be, you're beginning to speak it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the denomination here is, it's, denomination may be too strong a word. It's primarily the people that are in your arena that you can feel, see, touch, smell it. It's us against demons. And
you're not thinking any broader.
You're not thinking any broader than here.
Mm-hmm. For which one now?
For the ruler. Yeah. When it talks about denomination.
Oh.
Okay? Now, everything else in this particular level of apprehension is the same. It atones for sin, the offerer kills it, and all the stuff I said earlier about these phenomena stay the same. The laying on of hands, yes, so there's identification with it. You're still at the gold. You're still only at the gold. You're getting more and more understanding that it covered all your thoughts, and you're beginning to you have a right. The only reason that this is here for the brass altar in the whole context, as you'll see when we study the next one, is because once it's here for the, once you've seen this at the brass altar, that means you have a right to fellowship. You have a right to eat of the table of God. Okay? Now, disposition of the fat, it's burned, so therefore you see the sacrifice was perfect. Still no mention of the inner parts. You're still struggling. You're still struggling with these subconscious phenomena and the childhood caused things, but you know they have no power. They're having less and less power over you. The disposition of the body isn't seen, so you still try. You still every once in a while get the feeling you need to change yourself, you need to be better, you need to do something different. But the name of the offering you've apprehended, it's the sin offering, no longer the trespass offering, and of course you don't eat it. Now, let's go to the next level. Everybody understand that level? Now let's go to the next level of apprehension. The next level, now we change the offerer, and we change the sacrifice, and we change who it atones for. Now the offerer is the congregation. Well, specifically, if you read Leviticus, you see the elders as a body do it for the whole congregation. But it's important to understand here that now the pegs of your tent have been expanded by seeing and by His obedience, because you heard and you saw. Okay? Now, your concerns are no longer just for your, the ones you can feel, hear, see, touch, and smell. Your concerns begin to be for the whole church. Now, you don't know for sure who that church is, but your concern is for the whole church. Now, what I'm talking about here, I mean, you don't forget, 99.9% of what I know of modern Christianity is back down in here somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're going into untread waters here. Now, your real concern, not just a verbalized above the whole church and, I'm praying for the church, praise God. That's not the issue. The issue is that the understanding that the offering has atoned for the whole church. Understand? And you begin to preach that. No. It's far greater.
Yeah. There's
now their boundaries have expanded, mind blowing.
We're talking about like what happened with the apostles at
That's
this
right.
level.
Right. This is the apostle point.
This is where it's starting to get really.
This is
the hair on your arm.
Yeah. This is turning the world up. This is beginning to turn the world upside down.
Yeah.
Because you're speaking something that you know, and that's the rarest thing in the universe.
6 weeks ago when we first had, or whenever we had that meeting and, back over there at the restaurant, this is the highest point I ever thought of that I could imagine was like somewhere between common people and ruler. I thought that was the end. I mean, I thought that was the goal.
Now we're going to get excited. Now, these are all interrelated. You have to understand that. They're all interrelated in terms of on the vertical column. Okay? The reason you know it's for the whole church is because, I'm going to jump a minute, because you've seen that the disposition of the blood went on the veil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now you know that by his action, the whole church has access directly to the mercy seat.
Yeah.
Without any to-dos or not-to-dos. Without any shoulds or shouldn'ts. Without any denominational agreements. Without any care whether they verbalize something right or wrong. And you begin to speak it, and it blows minds.
This is...
Now, you know it's the sin offering. You know, and you speak that sin isn't what you do, it's what you are, and accept the cross. This is the fullness, we're beginning to see the fullness of the cross. Now watch. Of course the offerer kills it. You recognize that you've crucified Christ by your seeing separation. You lay out of hands because you obviously, the identification with the laying out of hands is the totality of picking up the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because now you see the me as the whole church. Now, the blood is on the veil. You never again have to worry about access to God. You never again have to worry about being that something that you have or haven't done, secret sin in your life, unconfessed or whatever, all that bullshit has gone away. You don't try to conform anymore to some standard. You see and you preach that truth to all in the church. Because that's who you think it atones for. And who's the church? Those that have somehow accepted Jesus or done something. You're still at that level. You know that every thought you think has been originated in the holy fire. You can't be separate any longer. Even if something you perceive as negative, you know it's the chastisement of the Father, and he sees you see it's totally the Father, then the reason for that chastisement disappears and you're free. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you don't see self at all in these. You notice that? Self is totally disappearing now.
Was the brass altar just so you'd have access to the veil?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the brass altar so you have... No, the brass altar is where you have possibility of fellowship.
Okay, the possibility of fellowship.
And it's also so then you have access to the next step. We haven't studied the laver, which is a whole other... Now you are clean by the washing of water of the Word. That's what happened in the laver. Now... Same thing. Disposition of the fact. You know the sacrifice. Now you're seeing it's more and more perfect than you've ever dreamed possible of seeing it as perfect. Now every once in a while you're starting to get a new thing. You're starting to see that even that crap that happened deep down within you from when you were a little kid, or that weirdness, you've every once in a while, you get an inkling of the inwards, the kidneys, the flanks, the call, the liver, but it's fading in and out. But you're about to apprehend totality of freedom. But now you see the possibility of being, of how that blood has covered you every second of every day of your life. Are you beginning to see a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
See it, just grab onto it every once in a while. Now. Hallelujah. You're finally starting to see with clarity that the disposition of the body is outside the camp. So you stop being concerned with this flesh and blood. You stop being concerned about whether or not you need anything to eat or a place to sleep or clothes. Now this is that when Christ... This is the level Christ was talking to. He was speaking in this into existence at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. This is who he was talking to, his apprehension at this level. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? Because they shall proclaim the absence of againstness within you, the vessel. You shall turn your swords into plowshares. Not into some stupid outside world thing, but internally. It's already finished. And all the other quote-unquote prophetic scriptures are all now beginning to come alive within you. You know it's the sin offering. Of course you don't eat the sin offering, but you know by the sin offering you have access to the next one, the peace offering. Now we come to the final one. You feel the excitement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
yeah.
waiting for you to sign. We'll talk about this one
Thursday.
We'll talk about it
Thursday.
Here
we all are. Oh, yes. See, I knew it. I knew he was going to do that.
No, there is enough meat here to chew on for a while.
So. Yes, but... I was almost there.
It's all Pam's fault.
No, I was going to say it before she said it.
I figured you were.
But please, think on these things. Think on these things. You've heard it. Listen to me a minute. You've heard it tonight. Even though you may not think you have, you have at least heard enough to know that the ear has been circumcised. What you hear, then you will see. You may not see it this instant. You may not see it in its totality. But it's inexorable. You will see it.
Amen.
And as you see it, you will do it. And you will eat the right food from the right offering. You will touch and have dominion over all things so that your senses, the five senses, will now be used for a new thing. Feel the excitement.
Yes, it's too... It's too big a thought right now. I get all these when you're saying it, I get all these images of this overwhelming. I mean, just like just
pass your
covering the world with. Begin to sound like Harry.
That's the problem. That's a real problem we have to be careful of.
Less than adventure. Harry, no.
You like this stuff?
Yeah.
Amen. Now you know where the word heresy came from.
Harry Tick.
Purgatory
and Harry Tick.
Harry Tick.
Purgatory.
Harry C and Harry Tick.
I was sitting here listening to this, and for some reason I just, you know, it was like flies buzzing around my head, and I was feeling real weird. And then I looked at the chart, and I said, yeah, but somewhere on here weirdness is covered. And it was like, yeah. I knew it. I couldn't point to it, but I knew it, and that knowledge, the flies went away.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What gets me is I feel like what's been part of the thing is slowed in. We've been wanting to stop at some point along this. You know, there's been, in with me, you know, stop back about three sacrifices back. And that's...
You rest there.
Yeah.
Let's stop and rest.
But that's not what God has.
Build some tents.
You know, I just... Yeah.
It's good that we're here. Let's stay here for a while.
Ooh, it's cool.
See, that's why 10 years doesn't mean anything. We can cover 40 years in 5 minutes. And I mean, I'm here. I promise you. That's why I'm saying, you can't bring all that crap in here anymore, though. You know, that's gone. That's covered.
Mm-hmm. Well, that part of wanting to stay back, thinking that that's the place, and that's not the place where...
And all this does is confirm, if you'll think about it, all this does is confirm the simplicity of Christ.
Yeah.
Yes. Great. Here's somebody who said over here, the bullshit is outside, burned outside the camp.
Bull dung.
You have to put the dung in the dung can.
Right.
Dung can?
It's in purgatory.
Duncan, along with the other Duncan family.
Mr. Duncan.
Please try to feel the excitement about apprehending this stuff. It'll transform the world.
Yeah. See. You know.
Yeah, that's it.
You're right. That is such a wild concept. The fact that a group of people see this, believe it, apprehend it, and it's. And by that act, I mean, it's just, it's like it'll cause a rip in time. I mean, it's the same thing that happened to Abraham. By his faithfulness, he brought the whole experience of grace into the world.
Man.
Same way a nuclear explosion.
I feel like, it's my biggest problem. I've always been used to thinking too small. I mean, this is like, our poverty kind of thinking in regards to when we get on something like this, and I had this contradiction within me of wanting to to keep it small. Or
what's my small role in this going to be? Where's my little part of?
And at the same time, I have these expanding kind of emotions that just kind of want to rush out over everything.
Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water and spill over to all you touch, giving life. And I don't care whether you touch it by any form, whether it's media, whether it's, and that's why I'm trying to give you the last few days a sense of destiny. Don't denigrate this.
Yeah.
Think on these things. Take it, big guy. You already got it.